More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, a crisis of faith. Are events in your life, or for that matter, events in the church, causing you to struggle in your faith life? We'll help you reconnect with God's grace. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, our show is titled A Crisis of Faith. As we talk, well, about both the crisis in the church, many of you are aware, not only of the scandals that resulted from the stories about Cardinal McCarrick, but also from the grand jury report for the Bishops' Conference in Pennsylvania that revealed the decades-long clerical abuse and other issues associated with that. Of course, there's ongoing news about how the bishops have been complicit in moving priests around or ignoring certain things. And
we have to say some bishops.
Some bishops.
Let's qualify that very specifically, because we also have some great bishops.
And, you know, I spent Tuesday afternoon reading the grand jury report, all 300 some pages of it, and it was, I mean, I can't even, words, I don't have words to describe how devastating it was and how hard it is to read these kinds of things. So we thought we'd take today, since we were off yesterday, to talk about just faith crises in general. You know, whether your faith is being shaken by this current scandal.
And frankly, let's get real. Whose isn't?
Yeah, I mean,
you know, there's not a person on the planet who isn't at least stunned, if not asking a million questions, or much more intensely, really feeling shaken to the core.
And whether you're angry or you're sad or frustrated
or scared
or for that matter, feeling a little persecuted, because, I mean, if you read the comments in the secular press about any of this stuff, I mean, it's vicious. Or for that matter, you know, we all go through crises of faith in our lives when sickness hits, when we experience
when we
the loss of a loved one.
It's
I mean,
tough.
You know, faith is hard. It's easy, frankly, to be faithless. It's hard to be faithful. If you're going to really be intentional about it, it's hard to be faithful, because we confront evil, we confront our brokenness, we confront hardship, we confront doubts. It's all right there, and that's part of the process. Truly faithful people are not afraid of any of that. It's part of it. But we have to work together to get through it, to support each other in it, and to encourage each other to grow, not just in spite of it, but in many ways because of it. And so we're talking today about crises of faith, whatever the crisis might be in your life. If you're struggling in any way, big or small, in your faith life, either because of things going on in your life or relationships, or because of all the news that we're hearing about the crisis going on in the church, we want to hear from you and talk through how to center ourselves in grace in the face of all of this. I don't want to, just to be clear up front, this show is not about what do we tell the bishops to do. That's more of a, you know, Al Cresta's kind of thing, or Teresa
many
Tomio,
other
right?
Wonderful,
many Morning Glory.
Wonderful shows on
this show is really about, I want to focus specifically on whatever crisis we're going through in our faith and whatever is causing it. How do we take the fear and the anger and the frustration and the anxiety that tends to be at the center of our experience. How do we move that to the side and put grace in the middle so that we can process our feelings and our experience through our faith instead of processing our faith through our feelings? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Or perhaps you're dealing with the fallout of this in your relationships. So, for instance, I was sitting and getting to know a mom of a friend of my youngest daughter's the other night. We hit it off great. We had so much in common. But she was talking about the fact that she reverted back to the Catholic Church. And, well, her husband was deployed. And when he came back, he was sort of shocked by this. He wasn't Catholic himself. And they're still struggling through how to make the jump in faith, how to unify in their marriage through their two different faiths. And she said, and this happened at the beginning of the week before the Pennsylvania report, and she was saying, with everything going on in the church with Cardinal McCarrick and all of that, this has made him even more reluctant to look at my faith that's now so important to me. So are you struggling with the fact that something that had nothing to do with you has now brought shade on your faith and your life, and you're having to defend the church, your faith? You know, people are saying, are you out of your mind? Why are you still Catholic? Why? There's a lot of great reasons to still be Catholic, but how do you convey that to the people in your life who are questioning you?
877-573-7825. I wrote an article and posted it actually to my blog on Pathos, Faith on the Couch. I also linked it on our Facebook page. You can find that on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa. That's More, the number 2, Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa. And in the article, I talk about some research, some really good research that's been done on responding to spiritual trauma. There's a psychologist, Dr. Ken Pargament, at Bowling Green University. Just is an amazing professional. He's a clinician and a researcher, very faithful man, who talks about anything, whether it's sickness or grief or setbacks, hardships, these kinds of issues that we're going through right now as a church, any of those kinds of things that threaten a person's ability to draw strength and comfort from spiritual resources, he terms those as desecrations. Because spiritual resources allow us to touch the sacred, allow us to experience the sacred, allow us to have a sense of the sacred in our lives. Anything that robs us of that ability to access those spiritual resources, again, he refers to as a desecration. I can't frankly think of a better word to describe what we're going through as a church right now. But in the article, based on his research, he talks about unhealthy ways to respond to these desecrations versus healthy ways to respond to those desecrations. Some of the unhealthy ways to respond to a desecration in your life, whether, again, that's a difficulty accessing spiritual resources because of grief or loss or trauma or hardship. Unhealthy responses to desecrations, he argues, include things like abandoning your faith, abandoning spiritual practices, extremism, which is obsessively asserting your rightness even in the face of the wrongs you're committing, hypocrisy, where I decide to hold other people to a standard that I'm refusing to uphold, or demonization of yourself or others, where I look to assign blame rather than seeking genuine growth and solutions. And I think that in the face of all this, you know, it's very tempting to give in to any of those sorts of things.
And certainly if you read anything on the internet in the last 24 hours, you'll see that rampant everywhere.
But all of those things tend to create a spiritual vacuum in our lives that causes us to experience a loss of meaning, a sense of purposelessness, powerlessness. And it doesn't lead to either a spiritual or mental health, for that matter. We're going to talk through the course of the program about what are the healthy steps to centering ourselves in God's grace, even in the face of spiritual trauma and hardship and these kinds of desecrations. so that we can respond in a godly way to the challenges that we face. Give us a call if you are experiencing a crisis of faith for whatever reason, whether it has to do with the news or it has more to do with personal things going on in your own life or relationships. Let's support each other and talk about how we can remain faithful, godly people in the face of evil, in the face of these kinds of desecrations that threaten our ability to hold on to our spiritual resources, our relationship with God, and our connection to our church. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you right now. Our hearts are broken, and your body is broken as well, as we face this latest desecration in the church. But Lord, every day we face crises of faith as we experience sickness and hardship and brokenness and trauma and setbacks, and we struggle to keep you in the face of, in the forefront of our minds as we face these things. Help us, Lord, now to take the anger, the frustration, the fear, the confusion that is at the center of our spirits, and place your grace there instead. Not so that we can ignore the problems or pretend the difficulties in our life aren't there, but so that we can process all those things through your grace and respond to those things in your grace. So that even in the hardest times in our life and in our church, you might be glorified through our response. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
And in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We are taking your calls today about dealing with crises of faith, whether because of things going on in the church right now or because of things going on in your life. Give us a call. Let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825.
I just want to share something before I go to our first call, which is something that I was given in consolation and prayer in praying about all this, because this is hitting very, very close to home for us. We live on the Pennsylvania state border. Greg grew up in the city of Pittsburgh. We spend a lot of our time there.
And as I share in the article, I knew two of the guys who were laicized and had a lot of contact with them as a child. I was never abused, but, you know, of course, you read these things and you're left wondering, well, what if, right? What if I had just, things had been just a little different? And it's really a gut punch.
Yeah, it really is. And so this was very difficult, and I really hit my knees on this. And one of the things that God really gave me in this is something that I'd like to share with everyone as we walk through this, and certainly as we have to discuss it with people outside the church or people who are even questioning inside the church. The only reason that we can be scandalized by this, that we can look at all of these abuses, whether it's in Pennsylvania or the other ones throughout the world, and say, this is wrong, is because our church, over 2,000 years, has taught us the dignity of the human person. Before the Catholic Church, it was an anything-goes society. You didn't want a child, you just killed it. You wanted to abuse a woman, you just did it. You wanted to abuse anyone in any way, and you had power, you just did it. And it was the founding and the building of the Catholic Church under the Disciples of Christ that taught us that people have innate human dignity as children of God, taught us to treat women with dignity, taught us to treat children to be people who are cherished and loved as a gift and treated with dignity. We've had 2,000 years of that understanding because of the fact that very broken people, men who denied Christ, men who suffered all sorts of temptations, lived in grace and repentance and acceptance of God's grace enough to build a Western civilization that tells us this is wrong. And I want us to all go back to thinking, we know this because of what the church taught us, and we can go back to this as a church if we call one another on in grace and repentance.
With that, let's go to the phones. I'm going to go to line 5, where we have an anonymous caller from Nebraska. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you? Listener, line 5, you there?
I don't know.
There we go.
There we go. What can I do for you today?
Hi, you're live on the air? Do we have him with us?
Okay. I can hear you there, but we're not connecting.
We will try to get that
call in. We'll come back to that
clearer.
Caller. Let's go to another caller, Lisa. Who's
okay, up? Let's go to John, who's listening in Houston, Texas, on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, John. Line 4, welcome to More to Life. John, are you there?
Okay, let our call screeners know we're not hearing our callers right now. We seem to be having a bit of a technical difficulty.
So what we're going to do, we're going to take a little break right now. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with you about this. I apologize for the technical difficulties. But when we return, we'll also be talking with Julia Dozelski. She is the Assistant Director of the USCCB's Office for Laity, Marriage, Family Life, and Youth. And we'll be talking with her to really talk through suggestions that she has for dealing well with what we're calling desecrations, those things that stop us from being able to access our spiritual resources. As we head out to our break, I want to share our first More to Life hack. I said that there was a healthy process for dealing with these desecrations. Ken Pargament, a psychologist of religion, says that there are many unhealthy ways to deal with these kinds of desecrations, these threats to our ability to access spiritual resources, things like abandonment of our faith, abandonment of spiritual practices, extremism, hypocrisy, demonization of ourselves or others. But he outlines a very, I think, wise 3-step process of spiritual healing for anyone who's encountered spiritual trauma for any reason. The first step is recognizing the limitations of our current strivings. What that means is taking time to reflect closely and intentionally on whether the former approach we took to our spiritual lives continues to be adequate to help us deal with the traumatic or difficult events that we're facing now. So, for example, maybe my previous vision of God was, quote-unquote, too small. I didn't believe in a God that was big enough or loving enough or merciful enough or complex enough or powerful enough to handle whatever struggle I'm currently facing in my life. Maybe the spiritual practices I relied on to maintain my connection to God in good times just aren't sufficient to help me maintain that connection in difficult times. Well, rather than just giving up on God or my spiritual practices because they don't work anymore, I need to view this desecration, whether it's the kind of thing that we're talking about here on the show or more of those things that are happening personally in your life that are hard to bear, we need to view those desecrations as an opportunity to experience or increase our spiritual bandwidth, to allow our vision of God to grow or reinvest in spiritual practices that are up to the task of helping us stay connected to God, our faith, or our values through the present trial. So that's the first step. We'll talk about the other steps as we continue this episode of More to Life. When we return, we'll be taking more of your calls, plus we'll be joined by Julia Dozelski. Stick around for that and a whole lot more after the break.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
One of the things that we often think about in our spiritual lives is how to do something big for God. But really, most of the time, we should focus on how we can do something small for God. It's these small things that help us consecrate our ordinary daily activities and help us do everything for Jesus Christ.
Catholic Answers Live, tonight, 6 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Abortion,
pornography,
embryonic stem cell research,
corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
More to Life is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
Countless Catholics settling for a life of faith that begins and ends with the obligatory Sunday Mass. While essential, giving just 1 hour of our lives to God can never satisfy our deep longing for a purposeful, joy-filled life. Hi, I'm Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, and in my new book, Beyond Sunday, Becoming a 24/7 Catholic, I get real about what it takes for us to live as a Catholic every day of the week. You can purchase Beyond Sunday and the study guide at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about crises of faith, whether those crises are caused by difficulties that you're going through in your own personal life or relationships, or because of the news coming out of the church. The reality is doubts, fears, struggles, and faith are part of the faith process. How do we approach those things gracefully? We're talking about that with you today on More to Life, 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Julia Dozelski. She is the Assistant Director of the USCCB's Office for Laity, Marriage, Family Life, and Youth, and she's here to talk to us about how can we face these spiritual crises in grace. Julia, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It's a tough topic to talk to discuss, but the reality is all of us, for one reason or another, will experience crises of faith at some point in our lives. Many of us are experiencing them because of the news in the church. How can we face all of this in a graceful way?
Yes, that is a great question, because we all get our moments of seriously difficult moments when our faith is tested in God, and sometimes even our conviction in the church that he founded. So what do we do? One of those things I would suggest is just remembering that, and you alluded to this earlier, our faith is more than a feeling. It really is a conviction in the truth of Jesus Christ's message of salvation through his death and resurrection. And even though death and sin continue to exist in our fallen world, he has already redeemed the world, and we know that he remains with us, especially in these moments. So our conviction is not grounded upon any structure. It's really not dependent upon any person other than the person of Jesus Christ. And although he founded his church with the help of the 12 apostles, none of them are perfect. We know that there was a traitor in the midst. Yet despite this, he said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So this is one thing to remember. But when suffering really hits us hard, especially in our personal lives, we continue to ask ourselves, why does God allow for suffering? It's a mystery that continues to confound us. But its only true solution is in the cross of Christ. But we can gain courage by the fact that moments of crisis are really the best opportunities for reform. And we hope that this reform will take place. We also know that moments of suffering are really the best opportunities for a renewed sense of purpose and conviction in our lives, and ultimately for an act of faith. And I would also say that we should be encouraged just remembering the saints that God calls forth from his church. And they're amongst us, the laity, too. The greatest saints were some of the greatest sinners that time.
And I want to just build on some of these courageous points that you're making, because you're touching on something that's really important. You know, you mentioned how we all have a tendency to say, why God, why, when we're either going through our own personal struggles or when we hear this kind of horrible news coming from the church. And, you know, it's sort of a truism in psychotherapy that why is a terrible question, because even if you get the answer to it, it doesn't leave you any further down the road than you were before. The best question instead of why is, what can I do about it? How do I respond to it? And that's where the sanctity comes from. That's where crises makes saints, because faithful people ask, now what? What does God want me to do about this? And how can I use this to grow? It sounds to me like that's really what you're saying. That's where we find our hope.
Exactly. Because Christ wants a response from us that is true to his word. And so among our responses, we can certainly pray. We can pray for our clergy. We can offer penance. We can also prophesy, because saints do prophesy in the face of crisis and conflict. And we can preach with our own lives of integrity and dignity. And before you mentioned that we are particularly scandalized in this moment because the church holds solid truth about human sexuality that is so beautiful.
Yes.
And that's a key point that we have to remember. And we are called to witness that truth.
And the scandal comes from not from those things not being true, but from us not living up to those truths as a church. And that's something that I think that we can all wrestle with, that we all have to wrestle with, and not just say, okay, this is a clerical problem, or this is a human problem, that we have to recognize that our sexuality truly can be used to do great damage to people, but it can also be used to do great good when it is united with God's grace and practiced in accordance with the true teachings of the church, which many people have been reluctant to do, are always reluctant to do. And we really need to face that, to be prophetic in our own witness of our lives, and to be able to call the whole church on to a holier response to this whole situation. I think, what are your sort of final thoughts on that before we wrap up the segment here?
No, absolutely. Amen to that, Greg. I would say, yes, that's especially the calling of the laity, is to witness to that, the beauty and the truth of human sexuality, especially in the face of what we're going through right now as a church. And we have to be also that witness to our own priests and remember that they also look to us for support in ways that perhaps we didn't realize earlier. So courage.
Amen. Well, look, I really appreciate you having the courage to come on today and discuss this issue. You know, working at the USCCB, you know, it's got to be a tough time for all of you guys.
I didn't want to get out of bed this morning.
but I want to thank you for having the courage to face this head on and help us look at this issue through eyes of faith, honestly and authentically. We really appreciate your good work. And of course, if folks would like to learn more about the ways the USCCB's Office for Laity, Marriage, Family, Life, and Youth is supporting marriages and families, go to foryourmarriage.org. That's foryourmarriage.org. Julia Dozelski, thanks again for being with us today. And when we come back, we are taking your calls about dealing with faith crises, whether those crises are caused by events in your life or the events of the church. Give us a call.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
I've been a priest for 31 years. It's a call to a total gift to Christ. It's a total gift of one's life to be conformed to Christ. You know, and that's why I felt it when I was a young guy and I was kind of getting into religion and understanding it more deeply intellectually. It just began to hit me with a great clarity that if this is true, if God is real and God is a supreme good, well, why wouldn't I give my whole self to God? Why would I get distracted by anything else, you know? Now, again, I'm not saying that should be true for every single person on the planet. That's the way it hit me when I was a young guy, was I want to give as much as I can, my whole self, to Christ. So there's something heroic about that, where you do eschew a lot of things. You say no to a lot of things so you can say massively yes to Christ and to his demand. I think that's a heroic quality of it.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
He always starts with the good things. You know, the seven letters to the churches and the book of Revelation is a great way to write letters to other people, by the way, or to have conversations with other people. You start with what's going well. You do this, and this really well. I love it. Thank you. Here's what you're lacking. And I think for many of us as men, what the Lord's communicating at that second part of the letter or the second part of the conversation is, here's what we're lacking. You don't ever spend enough time with me. You have no idea what I'm trying to offer you in the gift of my friendship. Or if you do, you don't make time for it. And if you would but come to me, I would change your life like that. But you don't come. Not with the regularity that I want you to come. Not with the ardor and the fervor and the passion that I want you to come. I have a hunch, more than a hunch, that's what he says to me. And I got a hunch that's what he would say to many of us.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. What if I told you there was a magic pill that's been shown to increase life and marital satisfaction, improve family stability, and significantly decrease the risk of depression, substance abuse, promiscuity, and behavioral problems? Well, you're in luck. Such a thing exists, only it's not a pill. It's called Rituals of Connection, or as I call it, Vitamin R. Simple habits of togetherness, such as regular family meals, prayer, recreational family days, and other activities of the sort. Rituals bind us together.
They have the ability to create community and intimacy and lead to bonds that can be unbreakable. A simple dose of vitamin R reminds couples and families why they love each other. Establish regular habits of work, play, communication, and prayer as a couple and as a family. In this way, your marriage and family can grow to become truly outstanding. For more ways to build a lifelong marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is focusing on crises of faith. Whether those crises are caused in your faith because of issues going on in your life or relationships, sickness, setbacks, grief, traumas that are hard for you to remain connected, that are because of those things are hard for you to remain connected to God or your faith, or because, like the rest of us, you are being shaken by the latest scandals in the Catholic Church. We want to talk about how do we face those things honestly, courageously, and gracefully. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Sharif, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan.
Sharif, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Thank you, and I just want to say I love your show, and I'm always listening to it, and you've been a great support.
I'm so grateful to hear that. Thank you so much.
And I have a couple of comments I wanted to say and also just share my experience a little bit and a question. I'm currently discerning the priesthood. I've been doing that for the past year and entering an order. So it's been a beautiful journey and a blessing, but at the same time, with everything that's currently happening in the news, you get this question, this doubt, right? Someone who's discerning, well, what am I walking into? What am I about to do and venture in? And it becomes a very heavy question, right, with everything that's happening, especially everybody around me that's close to me that I know, that knows that this is something I'm considering and going forward with. They're like, are you sure you want to do this?
Are you out of your mind? Why would you want to be a priest, though? Right?
That's what they're probably saying.
God bless you. Okay,
and,
sure.
Yeah, and we're living in this time where almost priesthoods are getting the stigma as police officers usually used to have, you know, and with injustice and the idea of somebody that's supposed to protect you is not, you know, and it's a really sad place, you know, to be just instantly labeled that way. Because that's the first thing that now pops in somebody's head and say, oh, I'm about to become a priest. But I also try to look at it as an invitation and an opportunity from God to examine my faith and to examine my belief and my relationship, my personal relationship and intimate relationship with my God and with Christ, and to go back to scripture and to really understand that that has always happened one way or another. Do as what they say, but do not do as they do. And how many times do we hear, you hypocrites, you know?
Sure.
And this idea, you know, so I am trying to really examine this and say, well, maybe this is actually a higher calling. There is more need for us to know as people who are interested in the priesthood. What do we need to look at? What do we need to examine? How do we do that? We have a heavier burden now to kind of carry, you know?
Yes.
So you've got a lot of, I mean, you're really sorting through a lot of these questions, I think, and it sounds like in a very healthy way. Is there something that we can help you with in this process?
Yeah, everything.
Everything.
Well,
what are your thoughts on that from somebody who's
no, look, I think you're right on. And you know, we were actually talking about this last night, and our son, our adult son, kind of asked me, you know, so how are you doing, Dad? You know, because he saw me after I read the report. I read the report from the grand jury because I felt like I needed to be informed, and I owed it to to the people who've gone through all this and all of you to be able to speak on this in something of an intelligent way. And I read the whole report an hour before we went to anticipated Mass for the Feast of the Assumption on Tuesday night. And the gathering song was, and I talked about this in the article I wrote yesterday, it was Bernadette Farrell's beautiful setting of the Magnificat. And we got to the line, but mighty kings will swiftly fall from thrones corrupt. And I just burst into tears. You know, I'd been trying to keep it all at a nice professional distance, you know, and I felt like I got punched in the gut, and I couldn't talk, and I couldn't sing, and I almost couldn't breathe. And I had to excuse myself and go into the bathroom just to compose myself.
You know, and again, for people who are joining us late, this is not just for Greg, the church universal. This is the city he grew up in.
Yeah,
this is,
I grew up in Pittsburgh.
This
and,
is very
I knew,
close
I knew
to home.
At least two of the priests who were eventually laicized when I was a kid. One of them was the pastor of the parish I went to junior high in, and I spent a lot of time with him as an altar server, and he trained me in lecturing. And I mean, anyway. So to get back to your question, Sharif, you know, what do you do with us? So my son asked me, you know, how you doing, Dad? What does all this mean to you? And I said, you know, when it comes right down to it, despite everything that's going on, I know what God has asked me to do. And I have to do it. You know, I know what my mission is. I'm doing that mission. And I will ask God to help me use that mission to serve the church and to respond to this problem in whatever way I can using the gifts he's given me. And that's all I can do. It's enough for me, and the rest I have to leave to God. And so
With prayer and intercession, of course.
Exactly. But, and I don't mean just throw my hands up and say, okay, God.
I want to make that very clear, with real deep prayer and intercession for the church and for its healing.
And the reason I share that, Sharif, is because I think it's the same answer for you. You know, the current state of the church is immaterial to God's particular call to you. If God has given you the gifts and the heart for priestly ministry, then he will give you the grace you need to fight the battle that needs to be fought. And if he's called you to something else, then you discern that and you go do that. But that is a very personal process that you have to work out between you and God. And I think that you have to kind of tune out what's going on around, because it's really about reflecting on the gifts that you have been given as a son of God, and asking the Lord to say, how can I best use these gifts to glorify you and to serve your people? Whether that means as a priest or doing something else, God has given you a mission. And once you figure out what that mission is, that's what you have to do, because it's what you were created for. And whatever the work is in front of you, whatever the mess is that has to be cleaned up, whatever the fires are that need to be put out, he'll give you the grace to do that if you are faithful to that mission. But that's what you need to be concentrating on.
And really taking yourself to prayer, especially in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and discerning this for yourself.
You know, in our book, The Life God Wants You to Have, we talk about the three things that help focus us on what God's will is in our lives. The three things that God is always calling us more to. That's meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. Whenever I have a choice to make, God is always asking me to choose the thing that leads to greater, that has the greatest potential to lead to more meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue in my life. What do I mean by that? Meaningfulness is using my gifts and talents in a way, yes, that fulfills me, but allows me to use those gifts and talents to make a real difference in the lives of those around me. What choice in front of me gives me, personally, the best opportunity to use those gifts and talents in a way that I think will really make a difference? Two, intimacy. What choices can I make that lead to the greatest potential for me to have meaningful, faithful, godly relationships? Thirdly, what choices can I make that would let me use the stuff that life is throwing at me as an opportunity to become everything that God created me to be? And to pursue meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue is to actively reject the temptations to powerlessness, isolation, self-pity, or self-indulgence, which are the opposites of those things. So, Sharif, when you're praying about whether God is continuing to call you into the priesthood, those are the questions you want to ask. You know, of the choices that are available to me, which path seems to me in prayer to lead to the greatest potential for meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue in my life? Because that is the path that God wants you to walk down, regardless of what's going on around you, regardless of what's going on in the world. He has given you certain gifts that comprise your mission. And once you find that mission, he will give you the grace to do the rest of it. That's the only thing that matters. I'm glad you called. I hope that these ideas will help you move forward. The book, The Life God Wants You to Have, we'll unpack more of this. But we will add you to our More to Life prayer list. And if we can support you in any way, don't hesitate to call us again on the program. God bless you for your willingness to serve the church, especially in a time like such as this, as the saying goes. And thank you for your beautiful heart and your willingness to call in and share your experience today. 877-573-7825. We're going to go to a break, but I wanted to share our second step in this three-step process that Dr. Ken Pargament, the psychologist of religion, outlines for how we can respond to spiritual trauma in a healthy way. As I said, the first step was recognizing the limitations of our current striving. The second step is letting go. I need to be willing to stop approaching my spiritual life in the same old ways in the face of trauma. I need to stop doing the same spiritual practices, especially if I'm getting less and less and less out of them in the face of the particular hardship or trauma I'm encountering. I need to see that desecration, the thing, whatever it is, that's stopping me from being able to connect with my spiritual resources. I need to see that desecration as a challenge to develop a more mature, more expansive, more engaged approach to my faith than I've previously exhibited. Now look, that's hard. You know, when we're being attacked, either because of bad things happening to us personally or bad things going on in the world, when we're being attacked, we don't want to have to be the ones to change. We're the victims, right? You know, we're the ones who are suffering, right?
And I have to say, I want to make sure I've qualified something here because people might hear something and hear it wrongly. When you are saying, and when Pargament is saying, we need to stop doing the same old things, that doesn't mean chucking your Catholic faith and going off to some other religion or some other
or abandoning your faith altogether.
No. Exactly.
We talked about this earlier.
This is about going deeper.
Yeah.
This is about learning more, learning what the foundations are. This is about praying differently and more genuinely and more deeply than ever before. This is about asking God, what do you want me to do in the face of this to heal this to be part of the solution for this?
Well, as we said earlier in the show, you know, Pargament also points out unhealthy responses to desecrations, which include abandoning your faith, abandoning spiritual practices, hypocrisy, extremism, demonization of self or others. What we're talking about here is exactly what you said, Lisa. It's letting go of those. You know how we can all get. We get lazy about our spiritual lives. We say prayers, but we don't really pray. We go to Mass, but we don't really go to Mass.
We rely on the hierarchy of the church and the authority of the church to just say, we run everything this way, and we just sit there and kind of walk through as though we're on an assembly line, rather than learning the truths of our faith, living them vibrantly.
And if any of us have been in this place where we thought it was sort of our job to sort of nap while our betters told us what to do, God is saying,
wake up.
And so that's basically what this idea of letting go is. Let go of the lazy, unintentional, more casual, more taking faith for granted approaches that we've taken in the past and dive in more deeply.
And you might say, I'm the most active Catholic out there. I am incredibly faithful. I am on the fighting line. He wants more. And we can only give more to find the solution and the healing in the face of all this.
That's the second step. We'll talk more about the third step for responding gracefully to spiritual traumas, whether they're happening in our own life or because of things we're witnessing in the world or in the church. Give us a call. Let's talk through your own experience at 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll be back right after these messages.
Check out EWTN's official YouTube channel.
Just follow the link on our homepage at EWTN.com or go to YouTube.com/EWTN.
Watch EWTN's live shows or today's homily from the Daily Mass.
Click the upload button to see our most recent clips.
You can also find all of EWTN YouTube content by clicking the playlist button.
It's all on the official EWTN YouTube channel at YouTube.com/EWTN.
Visit today.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable healthcare option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Man failed the first test of freedom. He refused God's plan of love and chose freely to sin and made himself a slave to sin. That first sin gave mankind the gene or inclination to sin, which has given birth to numerous other sins. The Catholic Catechism reminds us that the exercise of freedom does not imply a right to say or do everything. Man is not totally self-sufficient, and his final goal is not his own self-interest and the enjoyment of earthly goals. When man violates the moral law, he becomes his own prisoner, disrupting neighborly fellowships while rebelling against divine truth. For freedom, Galatians tells us, Christ has set us free. He redeemed us from sin, which held man in bondage. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, we're discussing crises of faith. Whether you're going through a difficult time in your faith life because of things happening in your life or relationships, sickness, loss, setbacks, traumas, and you're having a hard time connecting to God or your faith because of it, or like the rest of us, you're reacting to the scandals in the church right now and it's shaking your faith and you're not quite sure what to do about it, we want to talk through that and support each other in remaining faithful and making a graceful response to whatever challenges life throws at us. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Mary, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Wisconsin.
Hi there. Hello. Mary, what can we do for you? Yeah, welcome.
Hi, yeah, I'll try to wrap it up into one short sentence, but I'm 46, and I've known some priests in our local area that have been, prosecuted, and I'm a mother of four boys, and I know that my struggle has been I'm clinging to my faith, but not so much the church. I've really had a hard time getting them in for, like, their religious ed and sacraments. We kind of go in the year that they get a sacrament and then take them back out because I don't trust the people that are in the church anymore. There's just been too many close to home where, you know, it has rattled me. And now this, I will say that what's coming out in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia, it is shaking me because I was on the heels of filling out the forms for this next year's CCD program thinking, you know, I can see where the children lack in their teaching because they're not in a formal type setting learning that, even though we do, you know, things in the home, mm-hmm. there's parts they're missing. And just on the heels of, you know, signing that and signing out the check to go send them in, I read what came out of Philadelphia and it does stir me and it makes me as a mother, I just feel very protective. Like I need to, you know, is this a wake-up call? Don't send them in. Or, you know, I'm trying to discern that, whether or not to even put them back into that setting. I will also add that I'm divorced, so I'm basically a single mother, and the scandals of the church have only made the division of our divorce more so because my husband decided it wasn't for him when things started to break in the beginning. He does take his part, is bringing the children to church on his Sundays, but that's about all, that's where it stops. So it has been, it has definitely affected my life personally. And I guess that's my struggle.
All right, well, let's talk through that. I want to make one point of clarification, just not so much for you, but for our other listeners, because I know what you meant. But just to be clear, Philadelphia was not included in this latest grand jury report because Philadelphia went through their own mess about 2 years ago where the vicar general for Archbishop Bevilacqua went to jail. And I mean, it was terrible, but that was Philadelphia a couple of years ago. This recent report from the grand jury in Pennsylvania included Greensburg, Pittsburgh, Scranton, and I forget if there were any others, but Erie. But it did not include Philadelphia. So that's just a niggling point. Just because it's bad enough, I don't want any listeners to think, what's going on in Philadelphia now?
We need as much clarity for our listening audience as possible.
So, all right, but to your point, So I want to talk about two things. First of all, I want to address the more immediate issue of signing your kids up for religious ed. Then I want to talk about how can you raise faithful kids even in this dynamic that you're dealing with here.
Well, first of all, I hope, Mary, that you're taking all of this to very serious prayer. You know, it's very easy, especially as moms, to kind of go on our fears, our immediate reactions to things, or what even makes sense to us logically. You know, if this, then that. You really need to take this to prayer. And you need to understand that you do have options in educating your child in the faith. One of them is to get actively involved in your kid's religious ed. I would never suggest any parent just write a check and send their kid off. You know, we need to be present. We need to be active. We need to know what's going on. We need to be backing it up in the home. I personally, as a homeschool mom who happens to travel a lot on weekends and things to talk to people about the faith, I spoke with my pastor, as many moms in our area did years ago, and said, look, we're homeschooling. We're teaching the faith at home. And he said, let me see the books that you're using. I want to see you're really doing this in a faithful way. Once we had an agreement about that, most of my kids' religious education happened in the home, although I did sign them up for things like Vacation Bible School at our church, which I taught at and was a catechist at. I was present. So my point in this, Mary, is you've got an array of ways to educate your child and be involved in that and guiding in that and protective in that you need to take to prayer and discern. What you can't waffle on is teaching them their faith and making it come alive for them in a way that's personal and real for them.
So which starts to touch on the second part of the question that I want to get to, but I want to just throw in one more thought on this. Like Lisa was saying, you know, if you're feeling at all, you know, nervous about signing your kids up for religious ed, number one, you know, by all means, you know, go and be a catechist. Go volunteer. Be there. And I will say this, okay, just in defense of the church, which is hard to do right now, but it's true. The child protection policies that have been put into place since 2004 are genuinely working.
But it is up to us as parents to make sure that they're working.
Yeah,
and to always
don't just ever assume,
yeah,
but they are working.
You know, and you check everything just as you would. You're not going to send your kid to somebody's house that you've never met before. But you know the person, you feel a sense of trust, you set up parameters with your child, and you pray like crazy that it's going to work. Same thing here.
And I will say, you know, in reading through the grand jury report, I want to say all, if not all, if maybe one or two, but if all of the cases were before the norms were put into place after the last crisis in 2002-2004. So, you know, these things are working. This news is horrible, but it's in a sense, quote-unquote, old news. I don't mean that's any less traumatizing.
Or that the trauma has gone away.
But it means that the church is a much safer place than it ever was. So that's number one. Number two, in terms of forming your kids, I really want to encourage you to pick up a copy of Discovering God Together, which is our book for raising faithful kids and creating homes where the faith is the source of the warmth in the home. Because all the research really shows that kids don't own their faith as adults just because they learned faith facts or because they went to church and did church things. They carry their faith with them in their hearts and into adulthood because they experience the faith as the source of the warmth in their homes, which means creating a meaningful prayer life, which means creating meaningful rituals as a family, not just around faith, but around family life that bond you all together and help you feel like a real domestic church.
And I want to say that a lot of our listeners might be saying, well, didn't you hear she's in a divorce situation and life is really tough? All the more reason to pray with your children about everything, their school day, their emotions, their friendships, everything.
And to have rituals that allow you to do these four things of working, praying, talking, and playing together as a family every day. The more difficulties or traumas or separations your family has encountered, the more important those kinds of rituals are. 50 years of research on the power of family rituals show that families who go through the death or the divorce of a member but maintain rituals in the face of those traumas are even healthier than intact families that don't have the same degree of rituals.
And I hate to even bring this point up, but if you are doing those things and have those rituals and that prayer life and that open conversation, if God forbid your child is put in a compromising situation, they will be able to trust that they can go to you and tell you.
And tell you long before it becomes a real problem.
Exactly.
So those are the things that I want you to keep in mind, Mary. And again, we talk, I think this will get you started, but if you want more information on how to do what we're talking about here, I want you to pick up a copy of Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids. You can pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com or at any online bookstore. Folks, thank you so much for being willing to share your stories with us and allow us to join you during this part of your faith walk. If there's more we can do to support you in your journey, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about all of our resources, including the books we've mentioned today, hundreds of self-help, free self-help videos on the website, and also learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful Catholic counselor to transform your marriage, family, or personal life. CatholicCounselors.com. God bless. Have a good day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.